This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
These are great days to be alive. I've got my KC swag on today, right? You know, it's like this is one of those moments in time where you realize there's something bigger going on than a World Series victory. And today we continue our Daring Faith series. This is week 11. Man, it's like we have just been running a marathon, and I love it because God's been speaking and bringing people to us to deposit things. Really enjoyed hearing Christian last week and enjoyed hearing Daniel the week before that, but this week it's my turn. I just muscled them all off the platform and said, I'm speaking today because I want to focus on something that I'm calling today a royal awakening. A royal awakening. In your worship guide, there's some notes. You might want to pull those out and write down some stuff that God's going to say to us throughout this next 30 minutes or so. You might want to also turn in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Last Sunday, a remarkable moment for folks in and around the Kansas City area, especially. Randy is not happy today. As a diehard Cardinals fan, he said to me, he says, well, even the blind hog gets an acorn every once in a while. He did not say that. He did not. But it sounds like something he would say. Doesn't that sound like something he would say? It really does. Listen to some of the odds that the Royals had to overcome to win this World Series. Crazy stuff. Only two other teams in the history of baseball have ever won the World Series the way the Royals did, by finding themselves at least two runs behind in the ninth inning or later of a clinching game and then scrambling back to win. The previous two times it happened, 1929... with the A's, 1939 with the Yankees. Crazy stuff. The Royals won 11 games in this postseason. Seven of them, they trailed by at least two runs at some point and then roared back to win. No team had ever done that before. In six of those 11 wins, the Royals were losing heading into the sixth inning. No team had ever won six games that way in a single postseason. And just in this World Series, the Royals not only trailed in all five games, but won three games in which they trailed in the eighth inning or later. No team had ever done that before in any of the first 110 World Series in history. And that's why we all have gray hair and ulcers today, right? It's exactly why. And it goes to show you how really amazing what just happened was. It was a come-from-behind Cinderella story that most of the country, including Joe Buck, didn't want to believe could happen. But it did, baby. It happened, and it's in the books. And what about the event that took place Tuesday in Kansas City? How many of you were in the mayhem? I see the bruising. I see the scars and the marks on your bodies. Over 800,000 people jamming the streets and the Union Station grassy knoll to celebrate their world champions. And in the midst of that, only three arrests. Crazy, crazy stuff. No riots, no fires. No mayhem. Take a lesson, San Francisco. Hello. I mean, it's a miracle and really was a sign to the nation that something special is happening in the heartland. And I'm telling you, we're a part of it. And it has something to do with much greater cause than just a baseball team. And that's what I'm going to talk about today in this message called the Royal Awakening. So what does all that mean for us besides an awesome week-long party for people in Kansas City? Well, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the natural speaks of the spiritual, that the natural comes before the spiritual. So I'm going to use some of these natural parallels to encourage you with what is happening, I believe, in the kingdom of God all around us right now. There's something spiritual about what's going on. I'm not going to get spooky about this, right? Spooky and weird, because the Holy Spirit is not spooky and weird. Christians get spooky and weird, right? But God is never spooky and weird. And the Holy Spirit is speaking today. How many of you believe that? The Holy Spirit is still speaking today. God is speaking. He never contradicts his word, but he affirms, he emphasizes, he highlights his word to us, and he speaks constantly. It's just, are we listening? That's the question. And we really have to go all the way back to 1985 to see the setup for what I believe is happening today in this particular season. It's interesting that in 1985, I had just come back from the Middle East, was serving in radio there, working for six stations in northern Israel, southern Lebanon, and while I was there, a real devastating occurrence happened. I'm not going to tell you that story. I have told it before, but it's not that I'm hiding secrets. I just don't have time. It was just a bad situation for me. I came back pretty wiped out. And as soon as I got back, there was this man of God who came to the city. His name was Bob Jones. And Bob was one of those guys that just God uses in prophetic ways to speak things that are happening that maybe sometimes we don't see with our natural eyes. Bob came to the church where I was serving on staff, and he called me out of a meeting. We'd never met before, didn't know who I was, and he began describing a situation. He said, somebody here is going through this, and it was exactly where I was, and I knew it was me. I'm like, oh, I'm busted, right? You know. So he called me out, and he began to pray over me, and Bob, you'd have to know him. He's just an interesting man, as prophets typically are, but he just said, listen, as I pray over you, I see fire on your lips. He had no idea I was in radio or broadcasting. So I just see fire on your lips. And he said that I had the gift of power evangelism, which to this day I'm not quite sure what that means. But he went on to say this. He said, there are many dead people walking around in this town that you are to reveal the living Son of God to. That was 1985. I've never forgotten those words. Many dead people walking around in this town that you are to reveal the living Son of God to. One thing I didn't like was he said in this town, because that really wasn't my dream to be in this town, right? It wasn't my idea. You know, like all young people, we want to get out of this town. Isn't that the truth? This is kind of how we feel. But not anymore. I love this town. So God in his sovereignty brought me back. And guess what? I think 30 years later, that word is being fulfilled. I think there are many dead people walking around that we are helping bring alive in Jesus. You can applaud God at that point, right? That's a great applause line. That's what we do. It's what we do. We help dead people come alive. Jesus didn't die to make bad people good. He died to make dead people come alive, and that's us. We were dead, the scripture says. But in Christ, we were made alive in him. That's why it's worth celebrating and getting excited about. That same year, Bob happened to prophesy about the Kansas City Royals, believe it or not. I just want to read you what he said. He said, God the Holy Spirit is going to create worldwide attention to be focused on Kansas City. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. He's going to do it through the game of baseball. Now, Bob was speaking about and speaking to Mike Bickle, and that was before the International House of Prayer was what it is today, this worldwide phenomenon of 24/7 prayer and worship that draws tens of thousands of young people and people of all ages to Kansas City, and it's birthed a movement, worldwide movement of prayer. Bob continued, it looks like Kansas City is down and out and will never make it, and suddenly at 5 to 12, the Lord brings the victory. That's the spiritual message over this movement breaking forth in this city. When it looks like it's 5 to 12 and Kansas City is counted out, suddenly at 5 to 12, the Lord's breaking through in victory. And you know what happened in 1985. They called it the Miracle World Series, because it looked hopeless for the Royals, down 3-1, right? And they needed to win 4 in a row to take the crown, and they did. And that was 30 years ago. Jones went on to tell Bickle, you're going to be counted out many times by people. And at 5 to 12 in the 11th hour, the Lord is going to break through. And this prayer movement is going to succeed, and it's going to get the attention of the entire earth. This is going to happen. You wait and watch the baseball league. And that's what happened. Not only did the Royals win the World Series in 85, a miracle series, but also the International House of Prayer now is a worldwide movement that we have been touched by. We've had IHOP worship teams on this platform. It's just crazy how amazing the Lord has used that movement. And again, Bob, in his prophetic, unusual way, giving a picture of what that looked like, even through the natural case of the Kansas City Royals. And that was the last time the Royals came anywhere close to winning any kind of championship. We spent 30 years in despair, right? In moaning and wailing, disheartening, and the Royals were a perennial laughingstock. No one ever believed that the Kansas City Royals would do what they did. But fast forward 30 years later, another young prophet who happened to be a contemporary, a spiritual son of Bob Jones, his name is Bob Hartley. He stood on this platform last December. Anybody remember Bob Hartley being here? He's the guy that did the splits. Remember the guy that did the splits? That would be Bob Hartley. Told you, prophetic guys are unusual, and Bob is definitely that, but he had 6 prophetic dreams concerning the Royals. Listen to this. He said, watch the Royals, because after many years of disappointment, the Royal Ones are entering into a time of Numbers 27, 18 through 23, where they are being commissioned to enter into the promises. I looked it up. Numbers 27, 18 through 23 is when Moses commissioned Joshua to lead the people of Israel in his place. Interesting. Watch them as they will win and bring a shift from hopelessness to hope. Think about that. A shift from hopelessness to hope. Think about what happened in Kansas City. The shift that just happened. Why it was such a big deal. Why 800,000 people came out to celebrate. The shift from hopelessness to hope. This is going to be like 1985. Do you remember what brought them home? Hope, unseen, will get them to first base. Then they will become unburdened and light on their feet, and this carefree hope will get them to second base. And they will be filled with joy and happily steal third base. And we all get Taco Bell because of it, right? With childlike hope. But salvi, right, will come from an unlikely place, and hope against hope will bring them home. And so it happened. The Royals won the World Series in 2015 after a heartbreaking loss in Game 7 last year. And the Associated Press put it this way. For these resilient Royals, no deficit is too large, no time in the game too late. Another writer said this. At a time when hopelessness is striking the heart of America and men's hearts threaten to fail them for fear of economic meltdowns, plagues, earthquakes, and other evil prophetic forebodings, the words of Bob Jones and Bob Hartley ringing in the ears of believers around the nation, believing for a third great awakening. Crazy, crazy stuff. Could God be speaking words of life and hope and revival through a baseball game? Many believe so. After Sunday night's win, I posted this on my Facebook page. A royal team wins the World Series on the ropes in enemy territory when a guy named Christian gets the tie-breaking hit that opens the floodgates to a championship. Maybe it's time for the royal sons and daughters of the king, the Christians, to step up and deliver. History is waiting. I believe that. I believe there's more than a baseball championship at stake here. This is a season where God is speaking, and we must have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in this hour. If there ever was a time in Christianity when we feel like we're on the ropes, and it looks as though very few are giving us any hope of fielding a winning team, this is that time. I'm going to read you some research that just came out this week from the Pew Research Center. The number of Americans who profess a religious belief continues to dwindle in this country. The percentage of individuals who say they believe in God, pray daily, and attend church is declining, especially among the millennials, those born between 1982 and 2004. Raise your hand if you were born between 82 and 2004. Look around you, church. Something different's happening at Restoration. I just want to point that out. It's not something that we can brag about ourselves. I just say, thank you, God, that we're a church that's not multi-generational, but intergenerational. We are the generations connected together. The findings go on. The share of Americans who say they are absolutely certain that God exists dropped 8% from 71 to 63% since 07. Percentage of adults who describe themselves as religiously affiliated has shrunk 6 points since 07. The share of U.S. population who consider religion very important to them, pray daily, and attend services at least once a month, has declined between 3 and 4 percentage points over the past 8 years. Now, these numbers might seem small as far as the drop, but they represent a very short span of time. So that really makes this a significant change if you consider the time frame that they measured, 35,000 adults sampled. Skepticism about religion is especially evident among young people. The Pew study found that barely a quarter of millennials attend church services on a weekly basis compared to more than half of U.S. adults born before 1946. Only about 4 in 10 millennials say religion is important in their lives. The oldest millennials, now in their late 20s and early 30s, are generally less religious than they were 7 years ago. If these trends continue, Pew Research says, American society is likely to grow less religious, even if those who are adults today maintain their current levels of religious commitment. Sounds like 1985 to me. Sounds like we're down 3 games to 1. The church is not winning. And I don't say that in a condemning way. It's just the truth. It's the facts. We're not winning. We find ourselves trailing late in the game like we did in 2015. Can I just say this? God has another plan. He's not counting the church out just yet. Because how many of you know that God's plans always prevail? And he seems to love to do that, especially when the time seems the darkest and the hour the bleakest. He's not done. He has a plan. It involves a royal awakening in his church. I want to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. I want you to listen to these scriptures through the ears of a generation that's on the ropes and wondering if they really can win. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a precious and chosen cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for your word today. I ask God that you reveal truth to us from your heart, Father. Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to us. Reveal to this generation, to us listening today, God, who look around and see the situation the world is in. God, help us to see through eyes of faith. Help us to see through eyes of heaven the reality of the situation and not shrink back, but move forward as your royal priesthood, as your chosen people, as a holy nation, a possession pleasing to you, God, in this hour when you're desperate for a people. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you believe you are a chosen generation? Do you believe you're a royal priesthood? What does royalty connote? It means you're connected to the throne. You're like, you know, the spiritual children of the king. And that gives you certain rights, certain privileges, certain position. And your destiny is much greater than winning a baseball game. You know, it's not about a bunch of guys with a stick chasing a little white ball around. It's much more important than that. It's about eternity. Your purpose is to impact lives forever, that will outlast when this world is nothing but a big heap. Our spiritual lives go on, and that's why what we do matters so much. What happens in this house matters. So it's what fuels me. It's like, it isn't just about creating some structure. It's about reaching people, touching people's lives. Man, I just am so, man, when we come together as a body, I'm pumped. I'm jazzed. I'm pumped to sit next to Zach, you know? It's like my spiritual son. It's like, I just love it. It's like I see what God is doing, and I think, this is so good what you're doing. But there's so much more, so many more people who don't yet know how much they're loved. Those are the ones that cause my heart to ache. You know, as much as I'm pumped and excited to be here, I think about those that aren't yet. And I know that we have work yet to do. I want you to hear some stories of some things happening around us right now. These aren't just someday dreams, okay? These are now realities of what God is doing. We have to open up our eyes and be ready to participate. And there's a small group of girls that have been meeting for a long time under the leadership of Carrie Corder and Tara Brock, and they've been studying the Word and sharpening one another. These are college age young ladies, and I'm just seeing such good things, and I've asked some of them to come and share. So I want Chanel, that amazing voice in the worship team, oh my gosh, melting me today. Miss Emily with her bling and Miss Skylar, would you all come up here? Look at these beautiful ladies. So I'm going to try to give a setup here. So Carrie has led you girls. You studied a book. What was the book called?
Treasure Hunt.
Okay. And it was about basically just trusting God to speak to you and then take what he says and go out and do something with that. And so they had these encounters as they went hunting treasure. And the treasure, of course, is people, right? So they said, God, lead us. We don't know where we're going or what we're doing, but we just are open and available. And some of the stories I heard back were just so ridiculous. And and we're such proof that God can use even us, right? Because he loves people so much. So ladies, would you just give a couple of minutes and tell us what your experience was like going on your treasure hunts?
Okay. This one was just like the nail on the head for me. I mean, I've had probably 4 or 5 treasure hunts, but this one I thought was like the most impactful. So we write on this piece of paper and you have like person, place, like miscellaneous things that God speaks to you, and you write down on this piece of paper, and you use the piece of paper when you run into your treasures to show them, look what God, you know, showed me. So on my piece of paper, I had softball, and I had like a pink like bracelet or like lanyard thing. And so I think Skylar had Walmart. So we go to Walmart parking lot, and as soon as we pull in, I just look to my right, and there's this girl with this blue shirt that says huge softball, and then she had this pink lanyard on. So I'm like, it's her. And so we're driving at this point, and I see her. She was like, oh, she's leaving. She's about to get in her car. And Matt had to, like, turn around for some reason. And I was like, we're going to miss her because she was almost out of her car. I bust out the door, and I run in the parking lot. And I'm, like, running towards her car, and she sees me. She's, like, on her phone, and she sees me. And then I realize I'm, like, freaking her out. So I, like, let me slow down. So I walk over to her car, and I'm like, hi. And she, like, cracks the window this much. And I'm like, let me in. Hello. And she's just staring at me. And I was like, hi, my name's Chanel. I know this might be weird, but we are doing this thing. And I give the whole little spiel. And I was like, do you need prayer for anything? She's like, no. I said, okay. Is there anything going on in your life that you might need? No. I said, okay, is there anyone in your life that needs prayer? No. I said, at this point, I'm like, let me whip out my treasure map. I don't know. So I was like, does anything on here mean anything to you? And she goes, oh, yeah, softball. I said, that's the reason why I ran over here. And I said, is there something going on with your teammates, your coach, or anything? She was like, no. I said, okay. Well, is anything? She was like, oh, wait, I have a game this Friday. So I'm like, this is it. This is what I'm going to pray for. So at this point, I'm like, can I pray for you, you know, for your game and everything? And she's like at this point, she's receptive. She's like, yeah. And so I just start praying for her. I start praying for her game. I start praying for her teammates because you never know, like, what seed you're planting for anything or anyone. So I'm, like, praying for her teammates and everything, and I'm praying for her and her coach, the game, and if she wins, and then if she loses, I'm, like, speaking life into her and all this stuff. And she was just like, thank you. And then we drove off, and that was it. You just never know, like, what you're praying for. So, yeah, you never know what comes out of your obedience. So, there we go.
Okay, mine was, I was pretty nervous about it because I'm very outgoing, but I'm a really shy person if I don't really know you. So I'm like, what do you mean you want me to just walk up to somebody and say, can I pray for you? So when we were doing the list, I just had basic stuff except for, like, one specific thing that said long blonde hair. Straight blonde hair, I'm sorry. And so I had a bench and then right arm or wrist. So we go to the North Shops, and there's this group of people standing around small cakes. There's a bench out front, and there was a guy that had straight blonde hair. So I'm like, okay, this is it. And Carrie's like, are you ready to go? And I'm like, yeah, let's do this. So I go up like a little kid on Christmas, and I'm like, we're on a treasure hunt, the whole spiel. So I'm like, I had long blonde hair, or I keep getting that wrong, straight blonde hair on my list. I was like, is there anything we can pray for you? And he's like, why do I have to go first? So I got my treasure map out, and I showed him. And when he looked where it said that on the list, he was like, oh, that is me. So I'm like, is there anything I can pray for you? And he's like, no. Of course, it's always no. So then I'm like, showing any of the physical things. I'm like, is your wrist or anything? And he goes to Highland Community College. He actually is going to be a trainer. He played football. He broke his right wrist in football. So as he's, like, training to become this, you know, profession, I don't even know what it is for sure, but every time he works out, his right wrist hurts. And I'm like, well, do you want prayer for that or anything? And he was like, well, I take ibuprofen. I'm like, well, let me pray for you. So he actually let me pray for him, which then opened up another story that Carrie could lead into someone else. And so after that, it was like the most adrenaline thing. Like, I did not want to stop. Like, we were supposed to go back to Matt and Carrie's. And I'm like, no, let's keep going. Like, there's so many more people out here. So just after my first experience, like, it opened my eyes to, like, no matter who you meet on the street, like, you never know what they need. Even saying hi to them or smiling to them, like, could be the world. So there you go.
So after we went to Walmart and Chanel had hers, we went to Target because it was on my list. And we had quite a few in there, like three or four people we talked to. But on the way out, we saw a guy with a neck brace, and his girlfriend had a yellow shirt and blue jeans, which was on Chanel's list. She had blonde hair, which was on Julie's list and my list. So we went over and we started talking to him, and they were in a car accident, and they rolled their car several times, and the guy broke his neck in three places or something, I think. And he couldn't work, and I don't know if he was just on leave or if he'd actually lost his job. And they were living with one of their parents, and they were just really down, and which I think Matt initiated the conversation, and he prayed for the guy first and just for healing and about his job and everything. And then I prayed over the girl for her knee. She had hurt her knee in the accident, and so I just prayed healing and everything over her, and we gave her one of the Bibles that we had. And they were just really receptive of the whole thing. Like, it was just really awesome because I was so nervous. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to go. I didn't even want to start the book when that's what we were going to do. And just even after the first one that we had met and Matt had talked to, like, it completely changed my perspective. Because the first one we did was off my list as well. The guy had on a blue shirt, and so we went and talked to him. And I had the name Jim on my sheet, on my map. And he's talking, and we're asking, you know, if he's a believer. And he says that his grandpa, it's a pastor in Kansas City, and his grandfather's name is Jim. And so then I was like, oh, okay, so maybe this is real. But it just really opened my eyes, and it was awesome. I think that everybody should go out and do it. That's how.
So I got a question for you ladies. I want to ask you this. How many of you were totally freaked out by doing this? Yeah. So here's the thing. We all think, oh, these are the superstar special people, right? And I'm telling you, they're just as freaked out as you would think to do the same thing, right? So, ladies, thank you for your bravery. Good job. Good job. All right. And I got to tell you another follow-up. Yes. Yes, please. I was going to say that, but I wasn't going to identify you. But, yeah, we've had people from the treasure hunt already come to Restoration. She was camo curly hair, the girl. That was who she was. So if you haven't met her yet, say, hey, camo curly, and she'll know what you're talking about. See, that is the royal awakening I'm talking about. Last Sunday during worship, I felt like the Lord spoke to me, and he said, it's time for an awakening. And I just was like, okay. Really hit me hard. We were singing the song, This Is My Awakening. Remember that? Like a rising sun that shines, that song. And I said, okay. So we prayed about it Sunday night. And the world has won the World Series. Just saying it's because of our prayers. I'm just saying that, right? Do you remember when Bob Hartley was here last December, what he said about this place? The same Bob Hartley who prophesied about the World Series. He said, this place is called a house of hope for the region. And he went on to say some other things that just freaked me out, right? About the impact that this place is destined to have. Do you remember Apostle Jay Swallow? The first person to come and pray in this building was a Native American apostle who was looked to as a spiritual leader by about 250 different, you know, tribes from the Arctic Circle to Guatemala. Francine connected us to Apostle Jay. He and his wife Joanne came in this building, and Jay's gone to be with the Lord now, but he said, this place will be a transformation center. And people will come here from other cities to see how to transform their city. And then, you know, I had a dream about You know how crazy dreams are, right? I was dreaming that Benny Hinn, of all people, would have some kind of an impact on helping us go to the next level as a church. I don't know Benny Hinn. I've never met Benny Hinn. I don't even watch his TV show, okay? But in my dream, I knew it was Benny Hinn. Well, in August, remember who was on our TV screens? Benny Hinn, introducing this prophet, Brian Karn, who I've never heard of, who the Lord gave a word to and said, Restoration Church, this is your time for expansion. You're to move forward now. It's like, God, you're just so wild. And you know, it's like, I don't live for those kinds of words, and I'm not a word chaser, but I love it when God confirms what he's already spoken to you in the secret place, right? He confirms. It's like we did for those girls when they dared to believe God to lead them from these little hints, that little breadcrumbs he gave them, and then he confirmed to them that they were on the right path. And that's how I feel about us today. You all know that next Sunday we're calling it our big give. And we're asking this chosen generation of believers, this royal priesthood, to wake up to our impact, that our destiny that we're to have, not only on this city, but on this region. And just as Moses commissioned Joshua to lead the people of Israel to the promised land, we have been commissioned to take this message of hope to our generation. And I take that very seriously. And it just makes me explode to think about how God loves people. The stories that these ladies told us, it's like, imagine being on the receiving end of that. And how it would just be like, God knows about me? To even provide these details and give that to you to say, does this mean anything to you? It's just crazy how God moves. And so that's what makes me have hope and courage that we are on the right trail. We're on the right path because we're tapping into the heart of God. Those of you here last week know that I just kind of gave you a rough overview of what we're trying to do. There are two goals we have to move forward. Number one is we've got to pay off about $34,000 in vendor debt from when we had our bathrooms and classrooms finished earlier this year. We want to get that done and taken care of. We have to honor our, you know, contracts with those vendors. So we want to get that done. We also want to move forward into this larger auditorium space. Those of you who are new to Restoration, this is the coffee shop, right? That is the place we're supposed to meet. But this was our first step to get in here. We want to get not only that room equipped, this coffee shop open, but also expanding our kids' classroom spaces because we are busting with young families and young kids. And that's our heart, to see the next generation also raised up as hope reformers, right? To carry that message also. The coffee shop isn't just a good idea. It's required by the city. The only reason we got a special use permit to be in this building is because we promised to have a retail presence. Because this is a precise plan downtown where they don't allow churches to be anymore. If you have a retail presence, though, you're good. We had a coffee shop in our plan. Bingo, there you go. So it's not an accident, right, that we did that. But we've got to honor our commitment to the city. So a part of the expansion, a part of getting in the coffee shop, the children's space, it's all about this phase two. It's going to be a price tag of about $1.2 million. It's a lot of money. But not to a God who owns it all, right? Who, everything belongs to him. We also have to refinance both of these buildings because our lease expires in June. So that's all a part of that 1.2. That's all that will be accomplished through that. So it's a lot of money, but you know what it's going to take? An additional $2,200 a month. That's all it's going to cost us. Above and beyond our current obligations, an extra $2,200 a month, which means that even if 100 families or individuals will commit during this big wave campaign, this Make Waves opportunity, will be there. It won't be an issue. $22 a month. My goal, my dream is to be in that room by Easter. Easter is March 27th. We can do that. It's not a lot of time, but it can be done. But we have to start now. And I want to tell you how God is already moving. I mean, I just talk about God stories. In college, I'm 20 years old, right? My roommate in college, I used to steal his socks. Okay? We became close friends. Steal meaning I didn't have any clean ones, right? He got them back. But they were maybe not in the same condition as when I took them, but we've remained friends over the years. His name is Mark Annell, and Mark owns Leibowitz Menswear in Eastridge Village. And Mark contacted me a few weeks ago, and he'd seen the article in the paper about our project. And he said, hey, I'm moving. We're moving from Eastridge to East Hills. They're just on the verge of opening a brand new shop. I said, yeah, I saw that. That's cool. He goes, I've got some cabinets I want you to take a look at. I want to see if they could be used in your coffee shop or in your new church building. I said, okay. Thinking, I don't know what this would be like, but I'll check it out. I go in and I look at these beautiful 9-foot-tall oak cabinets with brass bars. They're just gorgeous. He said, okay, I wonder if you could use these in your project. And I said, yeah, I'm thinking we could. I'm thinking, okay, how much? He goes, well, if you can use them, I just want to give them to you. And I said, Mark, we're talking about a whole store lined with these things. He said, I'm not taking any of them with me. So if you want them, they're yours. And I said, Mark, how much would these cost to buy? He said, well, probably about $100,000. Church, listen to that. God's already moving. We were given a gift of $100,000 in cabinetry. I don't know where we're going to use it, but we're going to use it somewhere. We'll find a place to use it. We'll find a way to use. That's the good news. The bad news is we got to move them all right? So Don's in charge of the move, and we don't know when. We got to get him out of there quickly because the landlord is going to be, like, in there as soon as Mark is gone. So we're waiting on the shop to be finished at East Hills so Mark can move, so we can move. So if you'd like to help out, why don't you talk to Chad or Don or one of the guys and just let them know, and you might be getting a call later this week. Today's the day, you know. But what an encouragement that was. And I wanted to share that with you all to let you know, yeah, it feels like a big responsibility for us, and it is. But when God is in it and God is with us, nothing is impossible. And he brings partners and resources and opportunities that we don't even know about yet. So don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. These envelopes that were handed out last week, the Make Waves campaign, give more explanation. And I'm asking these to come in next week when we gather together for we're calling it the Big Wave Weekend, right? It starts on Friday night. On the 13th, with our Family Fall Festival, kicking off the weekend with just a blast. And Don and Joni and their team have just done a fantastic job putting it together. A lot of fun for kids and adults. Cakewalk. You'll be able to fish and race a boat in the Natatorium, okay? So I'm not sure how that's going to happen. You got to come and find out. And Don says a chance to grab cash right out of the air. See, I don't know what that's about, but I'm thinking I want to be in on that. So they're alone, right there. Right there is a reason for me to come. What time do we start on Friday, Don? 5:30 p.m. There'll be food available. Is it chili? No. Chili and desserts will be provided. So what a great time to come. Just a family celebration as we kick off the Big Wave Weekend. Of course, then Sunday is our big give day. We're asking you to bring your one-time offering to help put toward that $34,000. I'm believing God that it's going to be done by the end of this year. I'm just believing that. And then the commitment, so that $2,200 a month on top of your regular tithes and offerings, because we got to know that we can manage this, right? We got to know that going in. We don't want to get ourselves into a situation that would be bad. But I believe we're supposed to do it. So your monthly commitments that begin in January, which take the place of those of you who have been giving to the Greater Vision campaign, this is Greater Vision Part 2. So that's what that is about. So that'll be on Sunday, and we just happen to have the Miami Hurricane, Pastor Juan Carlos Duvalier, in the house with us next Sunday. And I'm telling you, this is a sovereign thing. Those of you who've met Pastor Juan, you know what I'm talking about. He is a wild man, and he's got that Cuban passion about him that is contagious. And he'll be in town, along with his wife, Kim, who'll be meeting with the ladies then on Monday the 16th for a Warrior Women's Evening. And I just think the whole weekend is going to be our launch. I feel that way. It's like the move will begin next weekend. We may still be meeting in here, but I'm telling you, we're moving. the move will begin. Already I'm getting calls from people in the community wanting to know when that room's going to be done. We have such favor from the city right now. It's just amazing. So, church, thank you for being a part of that and for believing with us about that. It's a royal awakening. I believe it's our time. Our time has come. And you know, the crown that we get, the trophies we get are the people that we get to help be a part of touching their lives and bringing life to those that are dead and laying those trophies at Jesus' feet someday. And that, to me, is the ultimate championship. That's the one I'm interested in, right? How fun would it have been to, rather than being one of the 800,000 people who walked for 7 miles, to stand 30 people deep and wait an hour and a half for the bathroom? Instead of that, what if you were riding in the parade route, waving to the people and getting to hoist the trophy up? See, God's called us to not just be spectators in this, but to participate in it. To be the guy who pitched the last out and have the mound rushed with a bunch of jumpy, sweaty guys celebrating a world championship. That's your destiny, not to be in the stands and paying $800 a seat. Your destiny is to be on the team, to be a player in that. And that is, I believe, the invitation God has given us as a church. I'm excited about it. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? I don't know how many of you remember our very first trip to the Dominican Republic 4 years ago. And those of you who were with us that far back remember something really devastating had just happened 2 days before leaving for the DR. And I won't go into that. Don't need to. It was just a bad deal. And I didn't want to go because I didn't know what was going to happen. But I went. I spoke to the pastors that were there that I was supposed to do. And a young pastor who was there had a vision. Another crazy God thing. While I'm speaking, he has a vision of me, like Peter, getting out of the boat and walking on the water. And he said, the Lord drew me out into the deepest part of the ocean where I couldn't see anything else but water and sent an angel who pushed me under the water all the way down to the bottom of the sea. And by this time, I'm not liking that picture at all. But then he said the angel began to brush away the sand at the seabed, and who remembers what the angel uncovered in the sand? What was it, Kay? A crown. A crown. It's a royal awakening. I believe it's our time. Just this morning on the way here, it's like, okay, God, I get it, but thank you for one more confirmation. I'd never seen this billboard before on 229 Upper Deck coming north. Eric Hosmer. And what did he say? Step up to the plate with Eric Hosmer. Step up to the plate with Eric Hosmer. It was about big brothers and big sisters, but it was for me. It's like, okay, we're stepping up to the plate. It's our season. It's time for a royal awakening. Would you agree? How many of you are available for a royal awakening this morning? Me too. Let's pray. Father, thank you today. Today has been a day of crazy stories, but you're a wild and crazy God. Unpredictable, untamable, unstoppable, immovable, unfathomable. It's the God that we serve. Today, Lord, all we can do is lay at your feet, just fall down before you. Say, Jesus, have your way. Like Mary, the young girl, was told a wild dream about her having a baby, not even been married. She would be pregnant with the Son of God. How wild of a story is that? And yet Mary had the sense, she had the faith, the ability to at least say, I don't understand it, but be it unto me according to your word. Lord, that is our confession today as a church. Be it unto us according to your word. God, we are candidates today for a royal awakening. You have called us, your chosen generation, your royal priesthood, sons and daughters of the Most High. Forgive us for wasting our life on things that do not matter. How easily we are distracted. Give us God vision. Give us God faith. Lord, as we approach this coming weekend, Lord, there's an answer. It's like you're waiting on us to respond. It's like you've issued the invitation and now you're waiting for us. I see your hand extended, and now it's like, will you reach out and take my hand and walk with me to this next step of the journey? And Lord, and in a very real way, our response to this Make Waves campaign, Lord, is us saying, yes, God, we believe. We don't understand or know how it's going to happen, but all that we have to say is, be it unto me, be it unto us according to your word. And I believe heaven is waiting for that word. Heaven is waiting for that response. So God, in the hearts and the minds of your people this week, I pray you prepare us, Lord, for what's about to break open. Lord, we are ready for our royal awakening. I want you to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. And just if anyone here, this is the most important thing right now. Anyone in the house who's never said yes to Jesus and just said, I give you my life. I want to be on that journey with you. Tired of running my show and messing it up. I want to be a part of your journey. If that's you today, would you just slip your hand up so I can see it? Nobody else looking around. Between you and the Lord today. Anybody here? Okay, George, why don't you look at me then? Because I didn't see any hands. That tells me one thing. We've got way too many believers in this house right now. Right? We should be outnumbered by those who are still on the journey and need to know him, which means we've got work to do. Even if every person here brought one person, you'd be outnumbered, right? Or at least we'd be equal. But this room can't handle that number of people, can it? See why this is so important? So Father, take what we've said today, what we're about to do, the step we're about to take, even as you commissioned Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. Lord, you have commissioned us today, I believe. You've invited us forward, and we say yes to your call for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.